Akwaba, Ekabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa.
It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Sats and Gwe, where we bring you weekly updates and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes about the globe. I am Miss Purple.
And I am Neki.
Your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa.
I mean, in the past couple of weeks, the markets seem to be doing really well. Bitcoin is pushing super strong, and some predictions are even saying it might hit 30K sometime soon. Bitcoin currently sits at $28,362.04, up from what it was last week at $27,549.55. Ethereum currently sits at $1,818.42, up from its value last week at $1,751.20. Optimism has remained relatively stable and currently sits at $2.30. The MATIC token has also remained relatively stable and currently sits at $1.12. And the BANK token has had a somewhat significant shift, not too significant anyway, currently sitting at $0.007103. Down from what it was last week at $0.007605.
Moving on to our national currencies, we first got the Ghanaian cedi, which is at 1165 cedi to the dollar, which is up by 4.98% from last week's 12.26 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian naira is at 464.50 naira to the dollar, down by 0.87% from last week's 460.48 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho luti and South African rand are at 17.79 luti and rand to the dollar, up by 3.42% from last week's 18.42 luti and rand to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is at 132.50 shillings to the dollar, down by 4.17% from last week's 127.19 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 602.24 franc to the dollar, up by 1.5% from last week's 611.42 franc to the dollar. And with that, we're going to give you a quick recap of some of the headlines that we found to be quite interesting from last week. The first one being that Nigerians can now use instant local bank transfers on MetaMask, with more African countries coming soon.
And the one that particularly piqued my interest from last week was the headline about the Egyptian authorities arresting at least 29 people over an alleged crypto scam. Again, this is a reminder, before you put your money into any project, do your research. Don't ever base your investments on speculations or hearsay. Be sure that your money is going in the right place and that you're not going to lose it, because losing money is definitely painful. And that brings us to a wrap-up of our headlines from last week. Kicking off this week is with Bitcoin, where speculations are saying that Bitcoin is poised to blow up Africa's $86 billion banking system.
Bitcoin and innovators on the Bitcoin blockchain continue to blaze the trail in the crypto and blockchain technology space. Bitcoin has in many ways been very influential to the popularity and sustenance of the crypto space as a whole. The African banking system is reportedly worth about $86 billion today. It is widely speculated that Bitcoin is poised to introduce radical changes which could potentially blow up the entire banking system. The Lightning Network, for example, which is a layer 2 solution built on Bitcoin, is already being used by blockchain entrepreneurs in Nigeria and South Africa to enable faster transactions at very low costs. Bitcoin makes the idea of financial empowerment through the ownership and control of your own money a more realistic idea to the ordinary person, as well as the demographic of the unbanked. Bitcoin makes it possible for people to perform transactions without necessarily needing to use their national currencies, and it eases international trade. Given how fractured Africa's financial system is at the moment, with limitations including ease of access to commercial banks, cross-border payments, etc., Bitcoin has the potential to eliminate the middlemen, enabling users to send digital payments to one another directly without the need for credit and without paying numerous settlement fees along the way. This, I personally think, is, you know, it's one of those practical examples which some people may overlook because you may not see the need to be able to send money without too much of a hassle. But when you depend on, you know, either receiving funds or sending funds to somebody abroad or somebody who's not in your country, you understand that this ease and, you know, reducing the costs and any other barriers that may be in the way, that makes a big difference for a lot of people, which is why many will say for Africa, crypto is a need. This is our plan A. It's not even a plan B anymore. But for other people, it's a nice to have. Whereas for a whole bunch of other people across the world, it is an absolute necessity. So this is merely just evidence that there is still a lot more to come. There's still a lot more developments that are yet to be built that could change everything as we know it at this point in time. Moving on to our next headline, South Africa's CBDC is set to explore interoperability and DAO principles.
Project COCA is an enterprise Ethereum application developed by the South African Reserve Bank, the SARB, and is the country's very own distributed ledger project. The project is also an inquisition into the multiple use cases of CBDCs and stablecoins as a means of cross-border monetary exchange in this phase of the project. In the words of the Reserve Bank's senior financial technology analyst, Gerhard van Deventer, and I quote, in Project COCA Phase 2, which will focus on wholesale CBDCs and stablecoins, we are thinking about the governance of the platform. Its design will consider interoperability with wholesale CBDCs, and it follows decentralized autonomous organization principles, end quote. The overall aim of the project is to explore possibilities that could be possible with the use of stablecoins and CBDCs, including for facilitating commerce in ways such as cross-border payments, interbank settlements, and retail. I mean, the first time I heard about this, I was pretty stunned by it. You know, I mean, so far, I'm not sure anybody has found any particularly mind-blowing use case for CBDCs, especially not in Nigeria. The adoption rate here, for example, the eNaira is super low. I personally do not know anyone that uses the eNaira right now. And I feel like it's because everybody just sees it as not, they don't see it as a lot, right? Because there's really no feature it has right now that can distinguish it from, you know, using cash for transactions or using mobile money services or using your interbank transfers. It really has no sweet spot as of right now. But this, what the South African Reserve Bank is trying to do by their research, is this could be a sweet spot for a lot of people. This is a huge incentive to start using CBDCs. The fact that you don't have to go through all the stress of filling out forms for, you know, international money transfers. If they could make this, you know, bring the solution for cross-border payments closer to people with CBDCs and stable coins, I feel like it's definitely a sweet spot. It's definitely something that would encourage somebody like me to begin using that sort of service. And that brings us to the next headline in Nigeria, where crypto investors question the central bank's decision to flag P2P users.
In the aftermath of the $6.3 million, or 2.9 billion naira, that was part of the Flutterwave hack, the CBN has taken active steps to flag accounts of beneficiaries of the said stolen funds. This news has sparked anxiety in the community of Nigerian crypto investors, specifically in the peer-to-peer space, with many of them expressing their concerns that the CBN may extend this flagging to potentially crypto-associated accounts, which is an extreme concern. Now, this crackdown is linked to the discovery that the said stolen funds were used to purchase digital assets and transferred via various OTCs, that is over the counters, into the Nigerian cryptocurrency market. This has set a precedent for discouraging peer-to-peer trade among users in many over-the-counter markets. This development has in some way slowed down peer-to-peer exchange in certain over-the-counter exchanges and markets. Honestly, you know, it's concerning, but It's just one of those things that shows you that if one is not careful, I don't think people truly understand how interconnected the entire industry is. You make one foul move, you're going to ruin it for the rest of us, you know? So to anybody out there who's involved in sinister things, just know that you're ruining people's lives because you're ruining the potential of so much. You're, you know, hankering that growth. If it were not for the people who have done what they have done in very sinister ways, we probably would have been further. I mean, understandably, it would mean that, you know, you may not see these things, these flags or these red flags in the future because you perhaps haven't come across them. But I think, you know, that Flutterwave hack was seriously concerning. And I think I recall a few weeks ago where I saw somebody who works for Flutterwave currently has a very, very big manor as in a house somewhere in somewhere abroad. And I thought that was in bad taste personally. But hey, man, if it's what you're into, I guess it's what you're into. Moving over to our next headlines for this week, regulations around governing tokenized deposits and crypto assets in South Africa is set to take effect in January 2025.
Now, for many long months, the South African Reserve Bank has been working out regulations to govern digital assets, including tokenized deposits and crypto assets. Now, a senior fintech analyst at the Reserve Bank, Gerhard van Deventer, has announced that the regulations will very likely take effect in January of 2025. The Reserve Bank is still underway in its experimentation to discover more expanded use cases of digital assets, gain a proper understanding of the underlying technology by which it operates, and the associated risks. The vendor further disclosed in a statement, and I quote, "As the South African Reserve Bank, we recently completed a project that explored the feasibility, desirability, and appropriateness of a retail CBDC for South Africa. We are currently progressing with an internal report to consider the way forward," end quote. And it's very important to note that this statement he made is referring to the aforementioned Project HoHa. So, you know, I do understand that it definitely is going to take a while for any regulations to be implemented. You know, I mean, the crypto industry is still in its fledgling state in a lot of countries. And many of these older guys, or at least people in, you know, government and all that, I'm not sure they really know what it is. And I get the idea behind them wanting to be so cautious about regulating or about even legalizing it, because I do get that they're probably just trying to protect the interest of the citizens. But then again, I also understand that passing these sorts of legislations takes time. And given the nature of, you know, crypto and how delicate it is, I do understand why they need that much time to implement any regulations. But I'm definitely optimistic that in the event that they do, it's definitely going to be good. I mean, they're already doing a lot of research and trying to find out use cases for stable coins and CBDCs. And I'm pretty sure they have it all covered. And they're probably just trying to do some, you know, last lap researches, or, you know, put some finishing touches to whatever it is they're trying to legislate. I mean, I'm talking about the regulations. And I'm sure it's all going to come together nicely. I'm really rooting for them and the project. And I'm sure this is definitely something that a lot more African countries can adopt. Now, moving on to the next headline. In Zimbabwe, a blockchain-based e-Livestock Global is set to expand livestock traceability system across Africa post its pre-seed funding.
A Zimbabwean startup has built the required infrastructure to produce crucial livestock data, and in light of its growing popularity, it plans to expand to a number of new markets. eLivestock Global, which is a blockchain-based company, was established in 2021 and is founded on this technology. The technology itself employs the use of radio frequency identification, that is RFIDs, to gather data about the occurring events over the course of the animal's life. This makes makes it easy to closely monitor livestock and also enables traceability. Collected data includes information on vaccination, receipt of medical treatment, and the likes. This information is then stored permanently on the blockchain and cannot be tampered with. The company's founder, Makuvise, is optimistic that the blockchain-based RFID tags are a step forward in transforming and securing the future of commercial agriculture in Zimbabwe and across the entire world. Personally, I'm all for this. I know to some people it may sound like, why would you even think of that? But again, necessity breeds innovation. You know, when you have seen people take advantage of certain loopholes or being able to forge certain documents, this use of RFID tags is so important because it could change the entire game. People could be able to have valid, you know, documentation on the fact that my livestock is of a certain quality versus somebody simply changing the documents because they, you know, maybe either they want to get through or get by without really doing what is required. So kudos to Makuvise. I really, really am curious to see, you know, just how quickly they can continue to evolve. And I would like to see this being used across the continent. You know, I know that there are other places as well where there's a lot of livestock theft. So I think this could also come in handy, particularly on the aspect of traceability. So that is quite interesting on that. Moving on to our next headline, African Web3 startup Nestcoin plans a comeback.
Now, Nestcoin was one of the companies in the long list of casualties as a result of the collapse of former blockchain giant FTX. Now, although it has remained out of the news headlines for months following the crash, they are now looking to make a comeback. Even though it lost a sizable portion of its operating capital and had to lay off a portion of its workforce, Nestcoin is looking to reinvent itself as a one-of-a-kind digital platform. With a new focus on building on board, founder Yedig Badamosi described it in a recent statement as, and I quote, a digital finance platform that prioritizes community and is owned by its members, end quote. He further disclosed the product as one that will allow users to be their own bank. Although it is yet to launch, the platform seems promising and might just be the secret ingredient that the Nestcoin team needs to make a comeback. So I know this trended for a while last week on board. And for a while, I didn't piece it together that it was launched by, you know, Nestcoin until I read a certain press release or a certain release by Yedig Badamosi, in which he also mentioned on board. And so I just pieced it together. That, oh, definitely, yes. On board is, you know, an offshoot of Nestcoin. And it's supposed to be some form of digital finance platform, you know, for probably yield farming and all of that. Now, they really haven't gone in depth into all of the capabilities of Onboard. But what we know is that it's definitely supposed to be tied to the blockchain. And it's definitely going to have some of the, you know, capabilities that, well, a blockchain finance platform should have. And I mean, we all know they raised about $6.45 million, you know, sometime in 2021, you know, when they launched. And nobody knows exactly how much they lost, you know, with the fall of FTX. They didn't disclose that. But what we know is that it was significantly enough for them to, you know, have to lay off some of their staff and make radical administrative changes. But I do like the fact that they are trying to make a comeback. And I personally love Yedig Badamosi. I know Purple has hosted him here on one of our main show. And he's a great guy. I love listening to him speak. I've seen a lot of his work. And I'm really a huge fan of him and of Nestcoin. And I really hope they are successful with the comeback they're trying to make. And I am rooting for them. Moving on to the next headline. Co-founder of Afropolitan, Eche Emole, says blockchain can help reimagine a new state in Africa.
Now, Afropolitan made big waves in headlines last year after it announced that it had secured a $2.1 million funding to build a digital nation. This idea is inspired by a perspective on how the concept of a nation state has failed and how blockchain technology can then be used to reimagine this concept for better outcomes. This is, of course, based on the argument that existing state structures, especially in the continent of Africa, have not wholly upheld the interests and aspirations of the ordinary ordinary person. Afropolitan seeks to remedy this through building a viable community with a truly decentralized governance system where every voice counts, and then allowing for the creation of equal opportunities for people to thrive. Now, before I give my personal take on this, I would just like to give a disclaimer that I am both a founding member and founding citizen of Afropolitan, but of course, I think, you know, anybody who knows, because of this, I am very obviously very intentional about, or rather very passionate about, the fact that I think our countries and our, you know, various nations have not done what they could have done. I mean, you know, in certain situations, if you look at the different countries and our different nations in isolation, you could say, you know, we're really good at this thing, or that country is really good at that thing. But we've never really taken the time to perhaps, you know, come together and work together towards building a better African nation of people. And I think the globalization has left us behind in that we have not found ways to connect and, you know, tap into our diaspora, in that there's so much opportunity and so much education they can provide, so much access, because access, above all, it's the thing that, you know, creates innovation and allows innovation to thrive. Because if you do not have access to capital or information or resources or anything else, there's not much you can do. So I am wholly, wholly for this. I truly, truly believe that a nation state as possible. I know some people think it's a joke, but I think it's worth giving it a shot. You never know where you could end up. And if all else fails, I think we will get to see truly what it takes to actually to make a country, to build a country, to bring people together with the intention of, you know, bettering our lives, but also the lives of our other fellow African members throughout or across the whole globe. And with that, we have come to the end of the news headlines for this week. Remember that none of what we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals who make the show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. Our goal has been far surpassed. We had the goal of reaching 10,000 listeners and subscribers by the end of Q1, which was the end of March. But we've done more than that. We have doubled this goal. There are 20,000 of you out there who are listening to us, and I cannot tell you how grateful we are. As Bankless Africa, we do what we do for you. You are the reason we keep going. You are, you know, the wind beneath our wings and all those other beautiful, fancy, lovely things. So we are truly, truly appreciative. If you haven't already, please remember to subscribe and share it with a friend. If you're able and you would like to leave a review, please do so. Perhaps you may have noticed that on Spotify, you're able to leave a comment as well within the podcast listening option. So if you would like to leave a comment or maybe ask a question, please be sure to do so. And perhaps in the future, we'll create a poll or two for you to all get involved in. But until next time, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.